If you have your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Then I said to them, speaking of Nehemiah, "You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins. With its gates burned, come let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision." And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Let us pray. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for Living Faith Church. We thank you. We are difference makers. We thank you that 2015, our 30-year anniversary, you will do great and crazy things amongst us. Lives will be changed forever. And right now, I ask you to bless this word. May we hear it. As Pastor Mark said, may we do something with it intentionally. And may you change our lives forever in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Nehemiah. Nehemiah is actually a really cool book. To open up the book of Nehemiah and start reading. He was called by God to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. And it's a really amazing story when you go through it. And these two verses jumped out at me because the title of the message is Results Matter. Results Matter. I believe that everything we do in life, especially at work, how many of you know if you're at work and you're not getting results, you're probably not going to have a job very long. They're going to fire you. They're going to lay you off. They'll find somebody else that gets the job done. Results matter. If you're in school, you're in college, you're in high school, you're in grade school, you're in middle school, and you take tests, guess what? The results matter. They matter. Oh, I just didn't feel like taking it. I got a 5 out of 100. Guess what? That 5 hurts. It matters. Results matter. And in Nehemiah here, we find Nehemiah in chapter 2. He'd went to the king. He was actually a cupbearer for the king of Persia, and he went to his king and said, "Look, man," he went down and investigated the wall and saw it was in ruins. He saw it was destroyed, and he felt impressed upon him to, called by God basically, to go rebuild those wall, rebuild that wall, rebuild the 10 gates of the city. And he felt called to do that. And when he gathered all these people together, he looked at him and says, "We can look all around us and we see how eroded, how much help is needed. We see all that." And then he goes on to say, "Let's rise up and build this. Let's rise up and do something about this." And I found that very amazing that Nehemiah not only charged himself, he charged those around him. Let's do something about this. And Living Faith Church, if we want to be difference makers, let's do something about the Kanawha Valley. Let's not just talk about the Kanawha Valley, how bad the drug problem is and poverty is and religiosity is. Let's do something about it. Let's rise up together and do something about it. Let's build it. Let's build this. And I find that amazing. And what was really cool is not only did they rise up, but they knew they had an end result. They knew they wanted to complete the task, and they wanted to do it because God had given them that command and God had given them that charge. Just like he's commanded us and charged us to be difference makers. Amen. One of my favorite TV shows. How many of you like TV? I watch a little bit. I got a few shows. Most shows I DVR. I won't lie, I cheat. My schedule's busy and kids and stuff and laziness, and I don't like commercials. DVR is ruining commercials. Because I just fast forward. And there's a few shows I love to tape. Blacklist is one of them that comes on tonight after the Super Bowl. We may have a Blacklist party after the Super Bowl. Eat wings. What's left? I love to watch TV. One of my favorite TV shows is Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I like it. How many of you like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives? Man, gosh, I love that show. I got like 8 on my DVR right now that I've got to catch up on from Christmas. And some of them are hour long, some of them are 30 minutes long. And man, Guy Ferrari, he just drives around all over the country looking for really cool places that's far-fetched, in some hole, in some cavern somewhere that serves some really amazing food. And I love watching it for a couple reasons. I love to eat. I love to cook. I do love to cook. I love to cook. I also like watching people who are not in the limelight, not well-known, that have a niche and something they're really good at. It's really cool for me. I love watching him eat those people. He's just like, "Oh, man, it's shut the front door," you know. he's just got all these sayings and he just bombs them and they're just, man, that's real. You're awesome. Those wings are. I love watching all the experiments these people have. They put all their recipe in and he kind of makes fun of them. He loves tasting them. And it's really cool to me because when you're cooking something, how many of you like to cook? Let me throw it out there. When you're cooking something, the whole point of cooking is the end result, right? I don't cook something just to cook it. I cook it to eat it. I cook it to please people. I cook it so that people smile and say, that was pretty good, or that was really bad. Results matter when you cook, amen? If you got a recipe, a secret recipe, they matter. Results matter. And I love watching that show. I love watching barbecue sauce and cayenne pepper and honey and brown sugar all go together and molasses, and they make barbecue sauce out of it. You know, and watch them smoke ribs for 12 hours. And I also like watching it because I do get to travel a lot. And I a couple years ago, I got this account in Minneapolis. And I'm not lying. I got an email. I was like, hey, congratulations. You got this account. We'll have the kickoff meeting in a couple weeks. Come on up. And it was really cool. I was watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives that night. And he was talking about this burger joint in St. Paul, Minnesota, which is part of the Twin Cities. It's called The Nook. And, man, I put it on my phone note, find The Nook. I'm going to get a burger when I'm in Minnesota. And I did. It's the best burger I've ever ate in my life. It was phenomenal. He actually ranked it the number two burger in America. He ranked his top 10 burgers, and this place, in his opinion, had the number two burger in America. And because of that show, I got to find it. People that worked up there, have lived in Minneapolis from St. Paul area their whole lives, had never heard of the place. I took them there. This guy. I said, you don't watch Diners, Drive-Ins? No. I said, this place is awesome. Fresh cut fries. Oh, man, it's really good. I'm going up there in a couple weeks. I'm going to go to the Nook and get me a burger. But I love watching the end result. I love tasting a good hamburger, a good piece of pizza, or a good rib, or a good wing. I love that stuff because there's an end result. There's something that goes into it. I love to cook. I'll never forget growing up as a kid, my first time I ever cooked anything. How many of you like grilled cheese sandwiches? I love grilled cheese. And I had access to the stove, but I didn't have permission to use it. And there's something to be said about that. Having access to something and having permission is two totally different stories. I mean, I could have accessed it, but I didn't have permission to use it. I was afraid to house burn down. I was probably about 10 or 11 years old. And my grandma, again, was about that tall, full-blooded Italian, was a cooking machine, made her own noodles. We had spaghetti several times a month. She started cooking sauce on Wednesday for Sunday's lunch. And just made, I mean, you watching a little lady that tall do her own spaghetti noodles was pretty cool. Made her own ravioli and just really cool stuff. But she would allow me access to the toaster. And what I got, and I really like grilled cheese. And if nobody was home, I got really creative. And what I would do is I would take two slices of bread and a piece of cheese and I would smash it together to about that thin. And I would put it in the toaster. And some days it worked really well, and some days it didn't. Some days the bread would expand and get stuck, and I'd have to almost electrocute myself trying to get it out. Some days the cheese would melt and get down at the bottom. But I would experiment, and I've always loved experimenting cooking. I love cooking for the church. I love cooking at the church. I really enjoyed the Malachi Dad's ladies' night. I loved cooking Cajun chicken pasta and just doing all the stuff. It's a lot of fun. Why? Because there's an end result. There's something that comes at the end of it. All that work pays off. It pays off. And so many times in our Christian walk, we forget that results matter. We forget as a church when we're called to do something, when we're called to be difference makers, that what we do matters. Results matter. We should want to get somewhere. We shouldn't just talk about it. We should do something about it. Results matter. And let's be honest, as we grow in a relationship with Christ, we typically start shrinking our reach. We play it safe. We live small, which creates our dreams to be small. If we're to be difference makers, we need to live our lives that reach past our headlights, farther than we can see at the moment in the natural, to see the end results that we desire. We forget the whole point in all this is the end result. We typically plan and organize for something. We focus on the wrong things first. We focus on first impressions a lot of times, don't we? Focus on, well, how will I appear to people? And first impressions matter, but they don't, that's not the end result. It's more important than that. It's more important. We should always worry about the end result, for that's what we should be shooting for. That is what really matters. Starting is one thing, but finishing something is a whole different story. Finishing something is a whole different. So I have five things that the Lord laid on my heart this week that if we want to see results that matter, if we want to see the end result take place, these are the five things he laid on my heart. Number one is commit. Commit. This is the starting point. You must commit to what you want to do. You got to commit to it. This is where the first step to the end result begins. I'm going to commit to do this. I'm going to commit to do this. Committing to what we are setting out to do. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. And the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, seeing you're not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart." Then I was very much afraid. This is Nehemiah talking. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's grave, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "Why are you requesting? What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it." That I may rebuild it. His passion. He was committed to building the walls. He was committing to finishing and fixing the 10 gates to get into the city of Jerusalem. He was committed to that. And nothing, no end result will ever happen until you're committed to doing something about what God has called you to do. And when we do something here at Living Faith Church, the very first thing we need is commitment from people. And we have about 10 or 12 people that's already signed up to hang sheetrock that are committing themselves to hang sheetrock on February 21st. Guess what? Our help, their help, we'll get the job done. We've committed to the task. The work hasn't even started yet, but we've committed to it. We can't even begin to plan it because we need people. We need bodies. We need bodies to make this work happen. No matter what we're doing, we need people. Nehemiah was committed to rebuilding the wall. He was passionate about it. He decided to commit to seeing this rebuild process. Verse 6 says that I may rebuild it, is what he told the king. You want to see end results? Then you first must be committed to what you're doing. Amen. You must be committed to what you're doing. You can't be on the fence, all in or nothing. If you want to put a dent in hell, you got to be committed. To what God wants you to do. You got to be committed. Also, when we commit to something, it moves us to action. When you say, "I'm going to help," guess what? You're committing. It moves you to do something. It moves you. It's one thing just to sign up. It's a whole different thing to start moving into action. Amen. Commitment means you're willing to do whatever it takes. You're going to carry out what God directs and guides us to do. One thing we must realize, that the task at hand kind of dictates the timelines of the results. Let's be honest about that. We're talking in our ministry head meetings about some of the things Pastor Mark wants to do this year. And I know one thing we've talked about for several years that we really would like to do this year is kind of have like a single Mother's Day where single mothers come on the parking lot and we have a team of folks that wash their car or maybe change their oil and do things. And let's be honest, if you commit to change someone's oil on a Saturday, June 8th, if that's even a Saturday, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. If you commit to that, guess what? The end result's going to happen by 4 or 5 o'clock. The day's over, you've committed, you've done something, you've done what you've come to do, and you've had an end result. But there are other things that we commit to do that could take decades till to see the end result. If we want to change this Canoa Valley, guess what? We're not going to do it in a day. We can commit to do it. It could take a decade. It could take 20 years to change this Canoa Valley. But we must be committed to it. And I'm going to say this. When you commit to something, don't quit. Don't quit. You know, when Coca-Cola started out, their first year in business, they sold 25 bottles first year. 25! That's like 2.01 a month. That's all they sold. Most of us would have quit. This ain't going to work. This is not going to happen. 25 bottles of Coca-Cola is all they sold. Today they sell 1.9 billion a day. Started out at 25 in a year. Now they sell 1.9 billion a day of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola brand is worth $74 billion. While Budweiser, Pepsi, Starbucks, and Red Bull combined are worth $50 billion. And Coke just sells pop. Pepsi has Fritos and chips and all that other stuff. Coke just sells pop. The Coca-Cola, it's been reported that its name is the second most understood term in the world behind okay. I mean, it's okay and Coke. What if they would have gave up after 25 bottles? What if they would have gave up after 21 bottles? So this ain't going to make it. We're not, this is, we want to find something else because this ain't going to work. But guess what? It worked. I mean, the second most recognized word in the whole world is Coca-Cola. Coke. Okay, Coke. That's awesome. But they didn't quit. They didn't give up. They were committed to the task. Coca-Cola Classic. And there'll be Coke commercials on the Super Bowl night. There'll probably be millions and millions of dollars just to show us a Coke commercial. The gospel that saves us also compels us to live our lives for the mission. It compels us. The same gospel that saves us says, go do something. Go do something. Commit to something. Number two, attention. Pay attention. I remember as a kid, I mean, I can't even tell you. If I had a penny for every time I was asked this question, I'd probably be a millionaire today. Don, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? It's easy for people to see when we are wandering, isn't it? Even in natural, it's easy for somebody to see we're just not there. I'll come to the Super Bowl party tonight and we'll hang out and some of you will be wandering. You won't be paying attention to the game. And that's the cool thing. Let me say this about the Super Bowl party. It's an awesome time to come and meet people at Living Faith Church that you don't know. It's an awesome time to come and just hang out and chill. And I purposefully go look for people that I don't normally talk to, all right, and hang out with them. Maybe you're new to the church. I'll come and find you tonight and come and hang out with you. It's a great time to connect and get to know each other. So I challenge you to come out. But you may be wondering, but you got to pay attention. Attention is understanding the process, avoiding distraction that can deter, and focusing on the end result. I want to expand God's kingdom on earth, so I must pay attention. Details matter, and if we're not paying attention, we will miss the details that help bring the end result. Kingdom building outcomes do not happen by accident. We need to ensure the outcome. We need to help the outcome is what Christ is wanting. The local church is the way the world can be and will be changed. It's through the local church. It's God's method to change the world, the local church. Think of bifocals. I don't have glasses. I don't wear glasses. But what I can read and know about bifocals, they force you to focus 95% of your eyesight on what you're supposed to be focusing on. The other 5% just focuses on everything else your eyesight needs. Think of that as a church. 95% of what we're focusing on should be the local church. Everyone in this room, 95% of what we focus on should be Living Faith Church. 5% can be other stuff to help the kingdom of God. But the local church is what's going to change the world. The local church is what's going to change the Canoe Valley. The local church is what's going to change Marmette. The local church is what's going to change West Virginia. All right, me giving to Africa or to India is not changing the Canoe Valley. And I'm not minimizing that. That's why there are missionaries who are called to that. That's why we plant seeds here at Living Faith Church all over the planet, in India and Africa and Dominican Republic and everywhere else. We're planting seeds. But our job is right here. 95% of what we do should be right here. Our focus, our energy, our tithe, our talent, our money, right here. 95%. Just like bifocals. Focus on here. Large scale stuff is cool. But 95% should be focused on the local church. The church is still God's plan for reaching the broken, the forgotten, and the poor. Matthew 25, 31, verses 45. This is where Jesus says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. When you've given to the poor, when you come and visit me in prison, when you've put clothes on me, when you fed me, you've done it unto me, Jesus saying. That's the local church does that. One person can't do that. The church does that. The church is still God's plan for making a difference that will be seen for eternity. Ephesians 3:10 said that the church would reveal the manifold purpose of God. He'll reveal that. The church will, the local church. The church is still God's plan for reaching the world. We read in Matthew 16:18. Pay attention. Why? Because we're the church. And the church makes a difference. Number three, direction. We talk a lot about many things, but the direction we go determines more outcomes than we know. The directions we go determine more outcomes than we know. Let me say something. When you commit and you pay attention, then seek the direction, you probably will receive some criticism. You'll probably get some naysayers or probably be people that question what you're doing. They'll criticize what you're doing. And if you don't like criticism, I have something you can do. If you don't like to be criticized, you can say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. All right? If you don't want people to criticize you, you can do all three of those things and no one ever will. Actually, somebody will probably criticize because you're doing nothing. Let's give them something to talk about. Not me. I want to do something. I want to say something. I want to be something that impacts this planet for Jesus Christ, period. If we go too long without hitting the devil head on, could it be we're going in the same direction as the devil? Let me read Mark chapter 2, verse 4. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. There will be roadblocks along the way. You're going to face roadblocks. When you commit to something, when you pay attention to it and you have direction, there's going to be roadblocks along the way. People are going to oppose you. Things are going to happen that you didn't plan. Guess what? Take a detour. It's okay. It's okay if the road's blocked. Go around the roadblock. And that's what I love about this story in Mark chapter 2. We got these four guys that have their friend who's paralyzed and they really want to get to Jesus. And they're committed. They've already picked him up. They're taking him to where Jesus is at. They're paying attention. They get there and they realize the crowd is too big. They can't even get in the house. And here's what I was thinking about this week. And we know the rest. We read the verse. The Bible says they got on the roof and they ripped the roof off and they laid him down. But I thought about that this week. I thought, wow, who was that guy that made that decision? Who was that guy? How much debate went on? Dude, are you crazy? We're gonna rip Mark's roof off? Frank Thomas's roof off his house? Billy's roof? Mike's roof? We're gonna rip it off? Yeah, man, that's what we're doing. Dude, you're crazy. And they probably were. I wonder sometimes how long to debate. Did they talk for an hour? They probably were drawing straws. They had popsicle sticks, eating popsicles so they could pick sticks real quick to see who wins. Somebody made a decision. We're ripping the roof off. That's crazy. I mean, there was a moment it was Nike came on. Just do it, man. I mean, Nike happened. We're doing it. We're just doing this. And the other crazy thing about this story is not only did they decide to rip the roof off, A, they had to go get stuff to rip the roof off. B, they had to get on top of the roof. We forget that. They had to get on the roof too. So I don't know how long this took, but they were committed. They were paying attention and they had direction. And they said, we're going to do something about this. And they did. They ripped the roof off. And the Bible said they lowered him down. He was healed because of their faith. Because of their faith. That's awesome. That's amazing. I want four friends like that in my life. I want four friends like that in my life that says, Don, you're down, you're out. We're going to rip the roof off to get to Jesus. Amen. We're not going to debate it. We're just going to do it. We got direction. It's awesome stuff. Tear the roof off. I mean, they fought and they probably arm wrestled. I went roofing it. It's awesome. I mean, we read these stories in the Bible. It's like, yeah, let's just tear the roof off, man. They just jumped up there and did it. Dude, I know they debated that. Somebody questioned that decision. I would have. Dude, Mark just put a new roof on last week. I don't care. We'll rip the roof off. It's not popular. Sometimes the roadblocks create decisions that aren't popular, that aren't easy, that are difficult. But guess what? The end result is what matters. That guy getting up off that mat was a big deal. They didn't care about the roof at that point. The roof can be fixed. That guy's life was changed forever because of someone's faith. Because someone said, I've got direction and this is what we're going to do. We're doing this. Remember, if you don't know where you are, you might end up somewhere else. Yogi Berra said that. If you don't know where you are, you might end up somewhere else. End results matter. Number four, unlearn. Unlearn. If we're going to get results that matter, sometimes we'll have to unlearn. I know it sounds odd, but it does. Everything does not work the same way every time. It just doesn't. Conditions change. Sometimes what we worked before will not work now, so we have to unlearn. how we are programmed to see that end result happens. Go ahead and put that picture up. This is what some of us look like because we won't unlearn. This guy's supposed to be, he thinks he's doing the pole vault or the high jump, and he's running the hurdles. And that's what happens to some of us along the way. We get so confused, we don't know what we're doing anymore. We have to unlearn. I mean, this guy should have forgot. He should remember what he was doing. He should have unlearned the last event he just did. And we need to do the same thing sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't always work the same way. Sometimes we have to rethink the process. Sometimes we have to go back to the drawing board. Unlearn. And just last week, I hurt my right wrist. And I was helping move a couch into the house. And got the couch in, went down, got the couch, put it in the truck. With a little bit of help, latched it down, drove all the way home, got it in the house. But this couch was wrapped in plastic and boxes and all this other stuff. And all that work I just did, I was trying to take a box and twist it. And my wrist, it hurt. I won't lie, it hurt bad. And I was getting ready to go to a basketball game, so I was still getting ready. And I went up to go brush my teeth. And I picked up my toothbrush. My wrist was really hurting, so I had to put my toothbrush down. So I picked up, my left hand picked up the toothbrush, which was awkward. And I was like, you ever try to eat or brush your teeth with your opposite hand? It's not fun. I was hurting my mouth. And I was like, dude, you've done this 1,000 times. But then my mind said, not with my left hand. Your left hand has never brushed your teeth. I was gumming myself and spitting out blood. I mean, I was trying to be soft. You know what I mean? But your left hand, when you get used to doing something all the time with one way, and then all of a sudden that one way don't work anymore. Man, if you haven't unlearned that process and learned to use your left hand. I mean, try this week or today. I was going to buy pens and all that. I didn't have time. But try writing your name. If you're left-handed, write your name with your right hand. If you're right-handed, try writing your name with your left hand. Try eating today with your left hand if you're right-handed. It's awkward. Why? Because we don't use it all the time. And the same concept is relevant in the church. When we think we can do things the same way all the time, it's not true. Sometimes we have to unlearn. Sometimes we have to rethink the process. Because not everything we do is created equal. Not every ministry we have operates the same. I mean, you may be a volunteer in the teen ministry and you think, you know what, I'm going to help the nursery. Guess what? You don't change diapers in teen ministry. But you change them in nursery. If you ain't prepared for that, you're going to have to unlearn some things. Because we're not, and it's the same as relevant in everything we do. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some things that have worked. They're time tested and proven time and time again. But even those things can get better. There are things we don't have to quit doing, but we can improve them. We can improve, and that's part of the unlearning process. Oh, it's always worked. It's always worked. Let's just let it roll. No, we have to improve upon it. We have to unlearn that it's always worked and say, we got to make it better. We got to make it better. I know brushing the teeth thing is an extreme comparison, but it is real. Ministering to people, we have a tendency to fall into the same trap. One size does not fit all, and it does not. And part of the we have always done it this way doesn't always apply. It doesn't always apply. We have to realize nothing stays great without effort. Nothing stays great without effort. You got to keep it great. And here at LFC, we always want to do better than we did 30 years ago or 15 years ago or 5 years ago, even last week. I want to do better than we did last week. I want to get better. So sometimes I have to unlearn. I don't want to settle for good or okay. Let's strive for greatness. And sometimes that requires us to unlearn. Cannot put ministry in a box. Ministry changes because people change. Different people come in this church, and guess what? Their needs are different. We have to unlearn sometimes. And number five, completion. Completion. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. No other step above matters, really, until you complete something. If we do not complete what we've set out to do, there will be roadblocks and people blocks, there may be criticism, and even those who doubt. But if we're not going to complete each task, we got to follow through with God. If we're going to complete everything that's been set through, we have to follow through. Nehemiah rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. He repaired the 10 gates to the city with volunteers. Volunteers. Really cool story about Nehemiah is all, when you read into it and start looking. 52 days. They did it in 52 days. They were surrounded by the Philistines. They were surrounded by the Amorites. They were surrounded by all their enemies all around them. Then when they actually went to work, they had a sword in one hand and they worked in the other. They were ready to fight and they were ready to build because they didn't know what was going to happen that day. They were prepared for any situation. And maybe you're unsure about your gifting or what God, if God can use you, if God can help you, if you can help us here at Living Faith Church. Nehemiah 3:8 says this, and next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, he made perfume, made repairs and they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Let me say this. If God can use somebody that makes perfume, he can use you. He can use you. This guy just made aromas. He made little Scentsy candles. That's what he did. He didn't sell them. He made them. If God can use that, he can use you in his kingdom. He can use you to do work. You have a sword in one hand and a tool in the other, ready to do kingdom building work. We have to complete it. So maybe you're unsure. Maybe you don't think you have anything to offer. If that's you, then remember Hananiah. You see, he was a perfumer by trade, yet he was still willing to get in there and get dirty, get his hands dirty, and help do his part by repairing the wall. Now, if a perfumer can build a wall, then you can also help in some way building the church. Serving in children's church, nursery, youth, building the church. We here at Living Faith Church need your help. We need you to help us. We have to have confidence. If we're going to complete something, you have to have confidence you're going to do it. Committing to something, pay attention to detail, direction, even unlearning. And if you don't have the confidence to know you're going to complete it, you're probably not going to complete it. Satchel Paige was a great baseball player, a great pitcher. He was so confident at times that he was going to strike out the order. There were times he told the outfield to stay in the dugout. No lie. I got this, guys. Y'all take a seat. He was so confident he was going to strike out the side, he told the outfield to stay in the dugout. Pretty confident. I mean, one ball gets out of the infield, man, it's game on. But he was so confident. And we need to have that same confidence in God. God, I have no idea what I'm doing. We prayed that prayer a couple weeks ago. Youth, we've been having pretty awesome Wednesday night services up here. And I went back and prayed with the leaders and the worship team. And I was like, hey, God, we have no idea what we're doing here tonight, but we trust you. Our confidence, our hope, our trust is in you. We trust you to do something tonight. My confidence is in him. Not in my ability, but my confidence in his ability. Let me say this. God never starts something that he's not sure he can finish. He never starts something that he's not sure he can finish. And I'm going to close with this. I remember, you know, I've told you about diners, dive-ins and drives. I'll never forget. Kelly and I had just got married back in 93, 94. We were living up in Fayette County and, you know, living so far away and driving to church and driving home and driving back to church. It took a toll on your body. I was working in Nitro. I had a long, spent a lot of time behind the wheel. Glad gas was cheap then. But I remember going home for a Sunday nap. I used to take Sunday naps. Now if I take a Sunday nap, it'll ruin me. I mean, it'll ruin me. Don't clap, Mike. Sunday naps are the devil. But if I take a Sunday nap tonight or today, I'll be up till 4 a.m. But I'll never forget, I go home and I turn on the Bob Ross, The Joy of Painting. I thought, certainly this guy will put me to sleep. Everybody else, Bob Ross, he passed away back in 95, but PBS still shows his shows. And I would turn it on, and of course he had the big, you know, white afro going on, you know, and he would just start, he had that melatonin voice, and we're going to take some yellow here, and we're just going to splash a little splash. And before we know it, I wasn't asleep. I was like, dude, this is awesome. And I would see him take these collars and razor blades and these little brushes, and what turned out was a little speck on the screen turned out to this just like majestic Grand Canyon picture with a little cabin with a little smoke coming out, you know? And it was like, wow, snow covered and little footprints in the snow. And you know what? God's the same way in our lives. He can take a blank white canvas and what looks so mundane and ordinary and turn you into a masterpiece. What other people can't see, he can create. While other people, what's God doing in that person's life? Just wait. Wait for the end result. Why? Because results matter. Results matter. I was just showing Claire. Claire's really gotten into art. She goes to a little praise art class at Methodist Church in Kanawha City where my parents go. They have a little art class for kids on Sunday afternoons, 4 to 5. And she gets to paint and just draw, and she loves it. And I was showing her some Bob Ross videos on YouTube yesterday, and she was just like, oh, she thought it was awesome, you know. But let me tell you, God can take something blank and bare and make it amazing. And maybe you feel like your life is nothing. God can make you amazing. God can do some crazy stuff in your life, and you'll be a masterpiece. And he wants our help. He needs our help. We need your help to further this cause of Living Faith Church, to be difference makers. We need you to see results that matter in 2015. We need your help. We need you, church. Remember this. Who we are is not relevant. God doesn't use us because of us. He uses us in spite of us. He uses me despite me. I mean, I'm from Ashford. I'm from L.A. I mean, you know, Pastor Mark, every time he preached that verse, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I've always thought that. Can anything good come out of Ashford? I guess so. You know, my nickname back home, Lauren laughs, is Goat Junior. I mean, you know, can anything good come from a goat? I don't know, but I'm trying. With God's help, you can have faith or you can have control. You cannot have both. We have to trust him to guide us, use us as he directs. Remember this. The Bible reminds us every time it is read that God did some amazing things with flawed people, people like you and me. And the cool thing is, he still does. Let us pray. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're an awesome God. And today, Lord, we want to be committed. We want to start something. We want to leave a legacy. We want to leave a mark, as Pastor Mark has been preaching for the last 4 weeks. We want to do something that matters on this planet, and we want results that matter. We want to see results, kingdom building results. So, Lord, we put our faith and our hope and our trust in you, just like Satchel Paige told Hatfield to sit in the dugout because he knew he was going to strike out the side. Lord, let us look to you and say, Lord, we have complete confidence. Our trust and our hope is in you. Follow odds, keep your heads bowed and eyes closed real quick. Jesus loves you in this place. He's got a great plan for your life. He wants to do great things with you. He wants to help us. He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. But he can't do any of those things until we give him our lives. He can't help us until we surrender to him. So I ask you first this morning, if you're in this place and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God wants to come into your life. And he wants to change your life forever. He wants to take a blank, flawed piece of canvas and turn you into a masterpiece. If that's you in this place, you'd raise your hand up and down real quick. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come back and drag you. Anyone at all, say, Don, that's me. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all, any hands at all. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe you're in this place and you once had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and distractions, roadblocks, criticism, all those things seem to hit at one time. I'm here to tell you that God wants to restore to you the joy of his salvation. And if that's you, you're in this place and you want to be restored today, would you raise your hand up and down real quick? Anyone at all? I see that hand. God bless you. And that hand. God bless you. Maybe you're in this place and man, you're committed to 2015. You're committed to doing what God wants to do in your life and Living Faith Church. But so many times, every time you step to do something, bad things happen. Roadblocks happen. And you just want prayer that God will find you 4 people that'll say, we're going to rip the roof off to get to Jesus. If that's you, would you raise your hand up or down real quick? Say, Don, I want prayer. I see that hand. Anyone else? Praise God. Let's raise to our feet as we sing this song of worship. If you raise your hand for any reason, I invite you to come to this altar. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to reintroduce you to Jesus Christ. We would love to you to experience Him for the very first time as we sing in Jesus' name.